Take a seat and see in my lens. It's not safe for the apprehensive and senseless. If I should mention the facts, got a back of consensus. Tension, we're not submissive. Too hot, then get out the kitchen. Appropriately offensive. Take a seat and see in my lens. It's not safe for the apprehensive and senseless. If I should mention the facts, got a back of consensus. Tension, we're not submissive. Too hot, then get out the kitchen. Appropriately offensive. Appropriately offensive. Appropriately offensive. Appropriately offensive.
Hey, what's going on, y'all? This is Corey with another episode. That's right, it is time for your weekly waste of time with me, Corey. I just want to say, before we get started, while y'all are listening, go ahead and hop on Facebook, Instagram, go find the appropriately offensive page, go ahead and like the page, comment if you want. If you're listening to it on a platform, go ahead and subscribe and all that stuff. I'm really bad at saying all that stuff, so you know, I've been trying to say it more, because isn't that kind of the whole point, to get as many people to listen as possible? But anyways, before I get started with the rundown of what's been going on the last week, I just want to let y'all know, the other day I was pretty drunk, and so I'm sitting in the garage, as I tend to do, and I'm playing with this lighter, and it's one of those lighters, like the Martha Stewart lighters or the Snoop Dogg lighters that got kind of like the long, extended metal piece on it, you know, so you can stick it down in a candle or whatever. So I'm playing with that or whatever, and I'm sitting there wondering, like, I wonder if I can push this against my forehead fast enough to make it go out without burning myself, right? Because, you know, it's one of those things where you put your hand over fire for a split second, it's not going to hurt. So that's what I'm thinking in my head. I let the shit cool down for a minute or two, and then I'm like, all right, here we go. Light it and stick that shit to where it's facing my forehead, slam it against my forehead, it goes out. The only problem is there's still fire. Even though there's not fire coming out of the lighter, there's still fire somewhere. So, of course, my forehead is rather close to my hairline. I don't know if y'all are aware of this, but your hair grows close to your forehead. I found this out pretty quickly when my hair started on fire. So the front end of my hair was just completely singed, smelled terrible, fucking terrible, terrible decision. Because, yeah, it worked. Like, yeah, I was able to put the flame out with my forehead, because of course you would. Why wouldn't you be able to? I don't even know why that was a thing that I was thinking of at the time. But at the time, it seemed like a fucking fantastic idea. And my girl was sitting next to me, so I thought for sure, like, she's going to see me do this, and she's going to be like, did you just... Okay. And I don't know why I thought that would, like, impress her. Like, she's not impressed by things like that, and I don't really know who would be. But drunk Corey thought that it was a fantastic idea. So, yeah, I ended up cutting my hair the next day because... I burnt off a good inch or two off of the entire front end of my hair. It looked like I had bangs or some shit. It was pretty dope, actually. Pretty dope haircut. But go ahead and jump into this rundown real quick. Kind of go through what happened throughout the week. Then we'll get into some football talk. I do have a special guest that I want to try and bring on for this football segment. I also got a special guest that I'm going to bring on for the Packers segment. So I'm going to kind of alter those. One week I'll do the football segment with Corey. That's right. I found another Corey to talk football with. And then I'll do the Packers segment with my boy Coy. And we'll talk Packer talk, because me and him are both big Green Bay fans. So that's kind of the plan. Anyways, like I said, do the rundown, we'll get into football, I'll hit y'all with the big idea of the podcast, and then I'll go ahead and get out of y'all's hair, man. So let's go ahead and get started with the rundown. NBC had their show Meet the Press or whatever. They were suggesting that Trump supporters are a bigger threat to democracy than Al-Qaeda was. And that was kind of crazy, you know, just in itself. But then you look at the fact that they said it on 9/11, which was really kind of crazy. Kamala Harris was on the show, and she came out saying, you know, they were talking a lot about the border, and she kept coming out saying, you know, the border is secure. You know, we're taking care of things at the border, and we're making up for what the last administration did, but the border's secure. It's like, okay. It doesn't seem to be secure, you know, based on everything I've seen. And, you know, you've never been to the border, even though you're the one tasked with controlling and taking charge of the border. You've never been there, so it makes sense that you would know it's secure. Perfect. Phoenix Suns owner, he got fined $10 million. It's a lot of money. Got $10 million for saying a bunch of racist shit, is what I know. I believe he used the N-word against people and things like that. Of course, most people were really upset because they want, they don't mind that he's fined, but they wanted him to be fucking fired, right? Like, get him the fuck out of here. NBA commissioner came out and basically said, hey, I don't have the power to do that. Like, that's not something I'm allowed to do. And so, of course, that's going over extremely well. I don't know if y'all could see my or hear my sarcasm on that one. And some good news, we had some trade negotiations. Of course, the unions always want to get paid more, want more time off and everything like that. Understandable. We all do. So basically, they were at the point where they were kind of at an impasse. You know, it's like, hey, we're not going to accept the deal y'all are offering. And if we have to, we'll go on strike. That would be terrible news if they went on strike, not only because inflation is already hard enough and the economy is already being fucked hard enough. When you add $2 billion a day being lost because there are no freight running in America, and then the fact that the freight companies own, I think it's like 40% of all private railroads, or 40% of the private trains run on their railroads. So if they shut their railroads down, I mean, you're talking tons of commuters can't get to work. Tons of food and shit not being delivered, grain not being delivered, all that kind of shit. So it looks like they are going to make a deal, and hopefully they do, because like I said, it'd be pretty bad if they didn't. But, you know, ultimately it looks like the workers are going to get a 24% raise along with a $5,000 bonus. They're going to get additional time off. They're going to get the ability to do unpaid time off, all kinds of shit. To an extent, cool. To another extent, kind of sucks, because all that money that they're going to pay is just going to be reflected in everything else. So, you know, we're going to pay for these raises and things like that, because they're going to charge more to the unions are going to charge more to these companies to use their railway lines. The companies aren't going to absorb the cost. They're going to say, hey, we have to pay an extra 10% fees now for using these railroads. So let's charge an extra 10% on all our product, so we don't lose any money. The consumers are going to eat it, which is what always happens. Just like with the electric vehicle thing, you know, they gave you an $8,000 credit on your taxes if you get an electric vehicle. Almost immediately after that, the price of electric vehicles, almost every single model, went up by about $7,000 to $8,000. So these manufacturers, they're not going to eat that shit. Like, they're going to make their money. You know what I mean? That's just how it works. That's why you can't. I don't know. I'm getting off topic. So, what else? We had a lot of talk about the Little Mermaid. I haven't talked about the Little Mermaid this much since I was four. Okay, it's kind of nostalgic, except for it's in a completely different like fashion. You know, because everyone's concerned about her race. And honestly, me personally, I don't give a fuck. You know, you want to make a black mermaid? That's fine. I believe Ariel's sisters were all kinds of different races. You know, she had her seven or six or however many sisters she had. I don't know. But I remember them all being different, you know, races and things like that. And I don't have a problem with it. I know a lot of people are like, hey, you know, why can't we just create a new princess as opposed to redoing this old princess? Okay, I can hear that too. You know, me personally, like I said, it's a cartoon. I don't really give a fuck. I'm fine with keeping stuff the way it was, you know, and then I'm fine with, I don't know. It just doesn't matter. It's a fucking cartoon. Well, I guess in this case, it's live action. So maybe it is more serious since it's live action. Oh my God. That's what it is this whole time. I've been looking at it like it's a cartoon. Jesus Christ. I've realized the error of my way. No, but the cool thing that came out of this is, I don't know if y'all been following them, but the memes coming out of this shit, fucking fantastic. Like, it's one of my favorite things about the internet now. The memes are just fucking great. But my big issue with Little Mermaid is you can't have any valid criticism on the Little Mermaid without it being directly associated to racism. You know what I mean? So like this one dude was talking about, he put up a screenshot of her, Halle Bailey under the water. And it looks kind of brackish, you know, it's super gray. Colors are very muted and stuff. I don't know. I've seen underwater scenes that looked better. And that's what this person pointed out. They posted an Avatar underwater scene and then some other movie. I think it was Aquaman. And they just looked night and day better. You know what I mean? And so he was complaining about the fact that it just didn't visually look good. But of course, everyone went immediate to, oh, you're a fucking racist, blah, blah, blah. So It's fucking crazy. Like, you can't have an opinion that has nothing to do with our race without them tying it directly to race, because so many people are just talking about the race of it. So they want to make every argument about the race of it, and it's just really fucking irritating. So for the most part, I just don't say anything. I just post the funny memes and stay the fuck out of it, because like I said, I don't really give a fuck. Democrats spent $3.2 million on a New Hampshire Republican primary, which is kind of weird. You know, why would Democrats put that much money into a primary between all Republicans? But when you look at it, they put all the money on this guy named Bulldog. I don't really know much about his politics or anything. The only thing that I know is he is a much easier person to defeat for the Democrats than Morse was. Morse was the other candidate that lost to Bulldog. There was another guy, but he was like barely in the race. Democrats were more worried about Morse winning the election, so they put all this money on Bulldog so they could have an easier race. Smart of the Democrats, kind of crazy, because we're always talking about, oh, we shouldn't let money influence elections and stuff like that. And a lot of times you hear Democrats say that, but yet here's Chuck Schumer throwing $3.2 million into a Republican race that has nothing to do with Democrats. So I don't know, whatever, not a big deal to me, but kind of hypocritical, I guess. Last thing I'm going to leave y'all with for the week was DeSantis sent 50 immigrants, 50, that's it, just 50 immigrants to Martha's Vineyard on Wednesday. And they immediately freaked the fuck out. They called the National Guard, said this is a humanitarian crisis, and by the next day, they had already kicked him out. Like, they put him on a bus and got him the fuck out of there, because it's like, hey, we don't mean what we talk about. We just say that shit to sound nice. Keep in mind, earlier, like I said, Kamala Harris said the border's secure, yet if 50 illegal immigrants are in Martha's Vineyard, it's a humanitarian crisis. Yet we have certain cities that are border cities that are taking 800 immigrants a day and have been for the last year and a half. Yet that's a secure border. That's not a humanitarian crisis. That's no big deal. Nothing going on there. Martha's Vineyard, whoo, fucking so serious, such a big deal. It just, I don't know. It's fucking crazy that you see so many people say, oh, if this happened to me and, you know, these illegal immigrants were here, I would take them in, I would shelter them, I would do this. And it's like, okay, well, you didn't, because the first thing you said as soon as they got there was, you know, they can't stay here. They've got to go somewhere else. You know, it's like, okay, so why do you think that they can stay elsewhere and it's not a problem for those cities? You know, those cities are going to face the same problems that you're facing, but in a much larger scale, because they're actually getting most of them. You're receiving 0.0025% of the actual illegal immigrants that have come through. You know what I mean? Yet we're having towns that are, you know, getting 10-15% of these illegal immigrants. And you still have the position of, we need to have an open border. Like, get the fuck out of here. It don't make no sense. Side note, there is a lot of cities like New York that are reevaluating their shelter policies. Like, New York has a policy that basically says if anyone is in your city and they are seeking shelter, you have to provide it to them, you have to feed them, all that kind of stuff. So New York is basically reversing that policy, or they're starting to talk about reversing that policy, because, you know, their resources and everything are stretched so thin and they're not able to do anything. They're trying to call for, you know, the National Guard as well, trying to make it a state of emergency, all this type of stuff. Keep in mind, when Republicans are talking about this stuff, it's ignored. And I shouldn't even just say Republicans. When border states talk about this immigration issue, it's ignored. You know, oh, that's not a big deal, blah, blah, blah. You know, and then you have all these people that live so far away from the border, you know, towns like Chicago, New York, DC, that, you know, say, hey, we're sanctuary cities. We'll let illegal immigrants come stay here for free, because that's what we care about. You know, that's where our morals and values are. It's like, okay, cool. It's really easy to say that shit when you're super far away from them and you don't have that issue. And then it seems really hypocritical when we send you like 11,000 immigrants over the course of like 4 months, which is way less than most of these border towns are seeing. And you're New York City, by the way. You know, it's not like you're some small city like Eagle Pass or something like that. So you're New York City. You can't handle 11K, but you expect these cities to handle what they're handling? That's the shit that I just don't get. And that's why, in my opinion, All this shit that Democrats are saying, and I do mean the politicians, by the way, anyone who's listening who votes Democrat, I mean, in general, I'm just talking about the politicians and I guess the people who agree with what they're saying. So I guess if you agree with what they're saying, I'm talking to you too. But it's just these people sit here and say, oh, yeah, we care about these people, you know, but then the second they have a chance to actually help the people or do something, they're out of it. They're uninterested. They don't want to be personally affected because it's a lot easier to say something than it is to act upon what you're saying, you know. So I don't know. Me personally, I don't think that they actually give a fuck, you know, and a lot of people are like, oh, well, you think Republicans care? No, honestly, I don't. I don't think any of them fucking care. I don't think Republicans care. I don't think Democrats care. I think they're all out there for their self-interest. That's what I believe. And I don't know. I'll have to do a future episode on virtue signaling and all the different shit that, you know, Republicans and Democrats do. But either way, let me get out of here. We're gonna hurry up and get to this football talk. All right, well, let's get to some football. I got a new co-host for the football segment, someone who is way more intelligent as far as, well, probably everything, but especially football. You definitely seem to know a little bit more, so I thought it'd be a good idea to bring you on the show. If you could, go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name is Corey. Thanks for having me.
That's right, and that is not me. That is a different Corey.
Different Corey.
So, C-O-R-Y.
Shorter Corey.
He's wrong. Yes, both in spelling and in height. So, man, welcome to the podcast. Appreciate you. Appreciate you joining in and being my host and making up for all my fucking
mistakes.
Thank you. Right out the rip. So, man, what you think of the first week? Or second week. Sorry.
It was way better than the first. Dallas got a win.
First week was a good week, though.
Yes.
Outside of, I guess, Dallas losing. I didn't give a fuck about that.
I hear that. I hear that.
Yeah, man, Dallas had a good game. Well, yeah. They had a better game.
Yes, better game.
And how long do they know how long Dak's going to be out?
They want him back by at week six. What is that, October 15th?
Okay.
Somewhere around there.
I'll be honest, I kind of completely forgot that y'all played that game without Dak.
Dak, yeah.
Like, because I didn't watch that game.
Yeah.
But I seen y'all ended up getting the win in the end.
They just need to run the ball more, and they'll be all right. But Cooper Rush has only played preseason games.
Right.
He has one win, I think, in the regular season. So, well, this is his second now. It's interesting to see if he's going to perform well. He's been on the team for how long? And
yeah, I was about to say, someone put up a meme or something like that saying, he's our choice, and yeah. I've seen you post something being like, who?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's I mean, all of our choice.
I'm not sold yet, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it's a little early, but shit, man. First game, can't complain. Yeah. He got the win, so who y'all play next week?
Don't quote me on that. I don't know.
Hey.
You know,
no worries. I don't even know who Green Bay plays next week. Green Bay had a way better game.
Hey, they did. Aaron Rodgers got it together.
Oh my God, they looked like shit that first game. Aaron Rodgers was completely pissed the whole game.
I think it's secretly because he don't have Adams.
Absolutely.
You know,
there's a meme going around where it's him sitting on the bench looking pissed, and it was like, this is who he wants to call right now, or Devontae Adams.
Yeah,
some shit. I don't remember exactly how it went. I could probably tell it better, but. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. He's just sitting there like, yo, I don't have anyone to fucking throw this ball to.
Mm-hmm. They got it together this week, though.
They did. I kind of figured they would beat Chicago, but I didn't think they was going to beat Chicago like that. Like they,
Per Aaron Rodgers, he owns the Bears, so I knew they were going to win that.
Statistically,
you know,
Green Bay has owned the Bears since I've been alive.
Yes.
I was born in 1990, so...
Green Bay's
been owning them ever since, man. Almost back when, you know, the Cowboys were good.
Yeah. I still got my VHS, okay? You know, 96.
Still got to remember.
You know.
Don't record over that.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the Saints and Falcons game? No.
Saints and Buccaneers? Bucks. Yes. Boring as hell for the first half.
It was.
Oh, my God. It was like 3-0 or something like that? It's like, this game is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But Tom Brady... I love seeing Tom Brady super mad.
Hey, I do too, man. Childish.
Throwing shit around. Nice. Looks just like me when I'm upset. When I'm losing at FIFA or something. He's throwing the little fucking tablet around. He was super upset. Then you watch him get that touchdown in his face immediately. Like,
immediately hey change
guys.
Up.
What's up, guys? No, I'm good. No
back,
worries.
Back to happy Brady.
Yeah. They I don't know what to think about New Orleans, man.
Mm-mm. I don't either.
Just mainly because I don't have any trust in Jameis Winston. So it just,
I feel that
their defense is good.
But, yeah, their defense is. But Lattimore's not facing a suspension.
No,
no. Mike Evans is though, one game.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Evans did start that.
Yeah, he deserved it. I feel like Lattimore was just talking shit.
So. But to be honest, you know who really started it was Tom Brady.
Yeah.
When he turned back around, it was like, what you say?
I feel like, and that immediately, I feel like he called him a bitch. That's just what
he
I
may
feel
have.
Like, you know,
he may have. I don't blame him.
That's probably what started it.
At that, you know, at this point, the only person that calls Tom Brady a bitch is his wife. And that's why he's off on Wednesdays.
I hear that. You know? You know, I believe that, too. That's why he is off.
I do, too. I truly believe that's why he's off. They said Veterans Day, but yeah. I don't believe
how
that
many
shit.
Veterans you know are getting Veterans
I've never heard of it before.
Me neither.
Never heard of that before, except for maybe in the NBA. I know
that's a lot.
A couple people will take, you know, games off or whatever, but you got 82 of them, so
yeah,
it's all right. You can do that. What else? What else? Did you see the Miami-Baltimore game?
Yes, that was insane, dude.
Miami might, I mean, it's early, 2-0.
It is, but I think I'm kind of sold. They sold me really early on their offense, so.
I think
I'm kind of sold.
They look pretty good, man.
They are, man.
What do you think was the best game of the week?
Honestly, I would say the Miami, because that's pretty close, but after looking more into it, the Jets game.
Ah, so, damn it. I was hoping we were going to have a different answer. I might have to think of something else.
The Browns had a 99.9% winning percentage.
Hell yeah.
Under 2 minutes.
Under 2 minutes. I think it was a minute 51. Jets had no timeouts.
And they blew that lead.
And they still were able to come back and beat them.
Mm-hmm.
And it sucks because it's got to be hard to go against your instincts, but Nick Chubb fucked that all up.
Yeah.
He should have never ran in for that touchdown. He should have stopped short of the goal line and ran out the clock. That's what should have happened.
Yeah.
But it's hard when your whole life, your goal is to get to the end zone.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to sit there and be like, nope, I'm going to stop right here.
Yeah, I agree.
But that's what great running backs
do. Who was your pick?
For best game of the week?
Yeah.
So it was originally the Jets. I don't know, man. I'm going to have to stick with the Jets. Yeah. It's hard to beat that game. The only other game that I think is in the runnings for best game of the week was the Raiders versus the Cardinals.
Yeah.
The only reason I don't jump off with that immediately is because the first half was completely one-sided. Mm-hmm. I think it was 21-0 or 21-3 or something like that. But then Kyler Murray got his head out of his ass and started playing in the fourth quarter. I think it was 8 minutes left. They were down 21-3. And then Kyler Murray just
lit on fire.
Which pissed me off, too, because the guy I was going against in fantasy football had Kyler Murray. So I'm talking mad shit. And I'm like, bro, like, your team name is the Purple People Eaters. I thought you was going to eat. Your people ain't hungry? What's up?
I feel that.
And then all of a sudden, I was up by like 40 points at that point.
Yeah.
And then everyone on his team just individually started going off. Next thing you know, I'm down. So unless Singletary gets like 30 points tonight, I'm fucked.
I feel that. He might be fucked tonight.
I think I'm fucked. Yeah. So, and that's what I would have to say would be the other big game of the week. Who's your surprise team right now?
Dolphins.
For me, honestly. Dolphins is up there, but Dolphins. Giants.
Hey, you know what? Honestly, honest opinion, man, the Giants are starting off nice, man. I was watching their game yesterday.
Absolutely.
And that coach turned that, was it? Shoot, don't quote me on it. DeBall or whatever.
I was about to say, don't quote me either because I'm not sure. That ain't my team.
But no, he's doing great, man. What are they, 2-0 right now, right?
2-0. And like I said, all this shit, super early, obviously. But
they're still not about to run the NFC East, okay?
No, I don't think so. But compared to where they were last year,
yeah,
I think it's a huge improvement. My father-in-law, well, I guess not technically, ex, whatever. Mm-hmm. But either way, he's a huge Giants fan.
Oh, okay.
And so me and him talk shit all the time. Last week, he messaged me before the Packer game. And this is the first week.
Yeah.
He was like, hey, man, good luck. He's like, I know my Giants ain't going to do shit, so hopefully your Packers do. Something along those lines. And, then the exact opposite happened, where the Giants won and the Packers got trounced.
Yeah.
Like, Justin Jefferson ran all, or I guess, still ran, but caught the ball. Oh, my God, that shit was, ugh.
I'm still not, I don't know how I feel about Daniel Jones. Not a big fan of him.
He's just, I don't know. He's an okay quarterback.
Yeah, he's okay. I don't know if he's going to be.
No, I don't think he'll ever be. Yeah, I don't think he'll ever be at, you know, like Patrick Mahomes or Rodgers level or anything like that. But hey, they got a hell of a running back.
Yeah.
They got some decent receivers. They got an okay. To be honest, I don't really know a ton. So I don't want to speak too much out of what I know.
Yeah.
But as far as I know, outside of Saquon Barkley, I can't think of many big names on their team, offense or defense.
I hear that.
So it's kind of impressive that they're able to hold it together. I think that speaks a lot to what the coach said, kind of like you were saying. You got a player of the week?
No, I don't have a player of the week. You want to know a fun fact, though?
Yeah.
Jaguars and Colts game. Of course, you know, the Jaguars shut out the Colts. Cool.
That was another.
They look like trash, by the way, the Colts.
Yes, I thought you were saying that. Jaguars. I was like,
no, the Jaguars look good.
Compared to what I thought the Jaguars would look like, they look amazing.
I'm waiting for them to take off because, you know, of Trevor Lawrence. Yeah. You know, he did good in college. I just want to see if he'll do good in the NFL. But
he had a rough year last year.
Yeah. The last time they played in the 2017 season, 2017-2018 season, the Jaguars' last shutout was then, and they shut out the Colts.
Oh, shit, yeah.
And then here we are 6 seasons later. They play the Colts again, and they shut them out again. So, but the performance I was looking forward to because Matt Ryan, I don't think he's going to get it done. They need a new QB.
No, but, I completely agree.
What's his name? Jonathan Taylor, the running back? Mm-hmm. Dude, he's a beast, man. I think he was number one in the league last year, number one rusher.
Yeah, I should have picked him up on fantasy.
Yeah.
I picked up actually, I think he was gone by the time it got to me, but I picked up Mixon. And,
Mixon's not a bad player, man.
He sure as fuck don't put up no points.
No.
Like, I'm very upset. Let me not go that extreme. Yeah. I was about to say, I would have rather picked, like, Zeke or something.
Mm-hmm. I feel that. I would.
I don't know why Zeke just...
Bro.
It just don't seem like he be doing that much.
He's old. But when he did run, what was that, first week, he was averaging, like, I want to say 3 to 6 yards a carry, maybe, or over 5 yards a carry. But he had like 10 carries, I think.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna be honest. What's his name? The backup, Pollard fan.
Pollard, yeah. I was about to ask you, who do you think the better running back is?
I mean, right now Pollard, because his legs look fresh. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know if he could take the load that Elliott does, or that Elliott has.
Right.
And do it consistently.
Like, he's better as a backup running back, because as a starter, he may just get ran out.
I like how the Cowboys utilize him more as a receiver back, too.
Yeah.
You know, because that's always nice to have.
Yeah, absolutely. I love what Green Bay did last night with the split backs.
Hey, Aaron Jones, my God.
Dude, I had him on my fantasy team last year.
Yeah.
Or no, it was the year before. It was the year that he played Dallas and ran all over. He got like 200 yards or something. Yeah. That I only remember vividly because I had him on my fantasy team.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, fuck yeah. You know, couldn't pick a better team to go. You can talk shit about Green Bay, by the way. I feel like I'm the only one talking shit. And it's going to come across like I'm just an asshole.
I feel that. They are shit, though.
He's like, yeah, you are.
Fuck Aaron Rodgers.
Shit, what about tonight's game, man?
I got Bills Mafia, okay, and then...
Yeah? Yeah, me too.
They're playing the Titans. Oh, speaking of the Titans, I've never seen anybody rock Derrick Henry the way the homeboy from the Giants did.
Oh, yeah.
That's a nasty hit, by the way.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to
Yeah, you usually don't see that.
No. But I got the Bills tonight, and then I think Minnesota's going to take Washington also. I mean, not Washington. Minnesota's going to take Philly.
Oh, shit, there's two games tonight, ain't
Yeah.
No wonder one starts at 6:15. Mm-hmm. I was like, why does that shit start at 6?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think about Philly? Did you watch the first game last week?
Yeah, I did, against the Lions.
Yeah.
They looked pretty good. Of course, it was the Lions.
And that's why I was confused. I was like, I don't know if this means they're good or not.
Did the Lions win their game this week? Because I know they were up like 22-0, and then I want to say blew it.
Hold on. Let's check.
Versus the Commanders.
That's right.
Yeah, I did watch that game. It got boring, of course, because, you know, shutout games are usually boring.
Yeah,
then Washington started playing pretty good. I hate Carson Wentz. He's a shitty quarterback. I don't care what anybody says.
So many people that vouch for him so hard.
So many people. But you know what? Nick Foles came in and saved his ass. We'll never forget that. Okay?
Big Dick Nick.
You know? But, yeah, Detroit's looking nice this year. But we'll see if they can get it together.
The NFC is looking, the NFC North, I should say, is looking a lot better overall.
Yeah.
Than it feels like Green Bay got taken down a peg. And all the other teams went up to where it's almost, they're not necessarily on an even playing field, but it's a lot more interesting where you're like, oh shit, Vikings got a good chance to win the NFC North.
Yeah.
Green Bay's there. Chicago, who knows? It's still early. They're 1-1. They look good in their first week. And then you got Detroit, which same thing. Mm-hmm. Like they won against a shit team, the Commanders, as they should.
Yeah.
But they almost beat Philadelphia too. That was a hell of a game.
That was a nice game.
You know, so it's interesting who you got for super early. You know, I already made my Super Bowl predictions the very before the first week. I think it was a week before, and I said I had four teams for the AFC. It was either going to be the Chiefs or the Bills, and then for the NFC, I was thinking the Bucks or the Packers. I have to say that's changed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I got the Bills going to the Super Bowl. I'm down to just the Bills. I think they are the best team in the NFL, honestly. But I think they're the best team in the AFC. And then as far as the NFC, Rams definitely out of the picture. I was kind of considering them a little bit.
The Rams are looking pretty bad. I'm concerned about them, but I'm also concerned about, speaking of Super Bowl teams, I'm also concerned about the Bengals.
Yeah.
You know, past two Super Bowl teams.
Oh, shit. I feel bad for Burrow.
I do, too. I think he's the most sacked QB in the league right now, because the first game he was sacked, like, five times.
I think it was six games seven. In this last one.
Yeah.
It's fucking ridiculous. Mm-hmm. This dude, I feel bad for him. Like, he has, I don't know if his O-line, like I said, I'm sorry, it's not my team, so I don't pay that much attention to him, but his O-line just must be absolute trash.
I don't know how much they have changed from last year, so...
I don't know, man.
They're looking like hot trash.
Yeah, and then I feel bad for Trey Lance.
I mean, they're lucky they haven't got rid of Jimmy G yet.
Right.
If they did, they would have been out. But Jimmy,
oh, no doubt.
Jimmy knows the system, you know?
That was what was it? What's the dude who's, they could go all the way? What's his name? Steve Berman?
Steve Berman.
So, anyways, he was talking about him, and he was like, that was the best decision that the 49ers never made was to get rid of him. I was like, hey, y'all right. Because if they would have got rid of him,
they would have been done.
And a lot of people question him, too. They're like, why are you leaving this expensive-ass backup quarterback here? Like, get a cheaper, you know, get someone else. Get a new one in there. Nope. And it worked out for him because, Trey Lance is gone.
Yeah.
That sucks, man. Two games in.
And they just gave him the keys to the team.
Yeah. Could you imagine? Like, that's the dream.
Yep.
Like, you leave college, you go to your first NFL team, and you're starting.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, it's the nightmare because you fucking... Because
I think last year he sat behind Jimmy. This year he starter. Two games in.
Yeah. And then you're out for the season. And shit,
I don't think they're going to steer away from that. I think come next season, if he's
healthy,
he's going to go right back to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just hope he don't end up like RG3, you know, where it's just like constant injury after injury until the point where he's like, I can't do this shit no more. That shit's rough to watch.
It was.
To watch someone with so much talent. And the only reason I liked him is, you know, obviously he came from, what was it, Cove?
Yeah.
I think. You know, so just being, coming from the same area that I grew up and all that stuff, that's cool. And then he went to the Redskins. Oh my God, I said it.
Offensive.
Yeah. My parents were huge Redskins fans. Yeah. Right now, they don't really know what they're doing in life.
I feel that.
They're just like, do we root for the Commanders? I'm trying to convince them to convert to Packer fans.
Yeah.
Terrible choice. I was like, just come on, convert. Y'all know you want to.
Yeah.
The only problem with that is it may be wiser for them to stick with the Commanders because I have this huge fear that as soon as Aaron Rodgers is done, Green Bay's, it's going to be like the Spurs.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, and Ginobili left, the Spurs ain't been shit since.
What?
And they won't be for a while.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what Green Bay is going to be.
Brett Favre had that starting QB for so long, and then
I've been spoiled, bro.
To Aaron Rodgers.
My whole life. Yeah. A Packer fan.
It's been great. I ain't going to lie. As a Cowboy fan, it's like Dez Bryant still caught that motherfucking ball.
He did. Okay. He did. Not by the rules at the time.
Yeah, not by the rules at the time.
But by common sense.
And they still refer to it to this day. You know. Yeah.
Even my, I like when they asked Mike McCarthy about it, and he was like,
Yeah. He just leaves it alone.
I can't say.
But yeah, man, I don't know. It's kind of been cool seeing Aaron Rodgers' career unfold over the past 20 years.
Yeah.
He's been playing. I think this might be his 18th season.
Yeah, he's getting close to 20 years. He's getting close. I think he. I don't know. I won't start putting numbers out there because I'll be wrong and someone else will be like, "You fucking idiot! Mm-hmm. Thought you were a Packer fan." Yeah, I am, but I don't know all the analytics behind it.
Hey man, they don't pay me to to keep stats for their team. So you know that's what Google's for.
No shit. So. All right, shit, man. Well, it was a good first week, man. You got anything else you want to add in here? Second week. God damn it. I keep saying that.
Another fun stat. Michael Vick, his whole career, I guess QBs rushing for over 100 yards in a game.
Yeah.
I think he had 9 his whole career. Lamar Jackson just passed that. He's at 10 now.
Damn.
Yeah.
You think before we leave, who's a better quarterback? Lamar Jackson or Michael Vick?
Man, I'm biased. I'm going to say Michael Vick because, I mean, he kind of changed the game for quarterbacks.
Yeah.
For being more mobile and...
Absolutely.
And whatnot, but...
If Michael Vick hadn't done that, would Lamar Jackson be there?
Yeah, shout out to, University of Louisville.
Louisville.
That's where he went to.
Yeah.
I was raised in Kentucky, but I'm interested to see where Lamar is going to... Or what Lamar is going to do at the end of the season because, he hasn't re-signed. Which, I mean...
I thought they did. I thought they gave him, a huge-ass deal.
He turned down... It was, 166 to
I thought they came back with another deal after he turned the first one down.
Nah. Because yesterday they were saying...
Oh, well, shit. Yeah, I heard this on, Thursday. I was talking to people about it. So, if they said it yesterday, then, yeah, you're probably right. But I thought they had already passed the contract and they were talking about, at the end of our eventually franchise tagging him... And guaranteeing him, I can't remember how many fucking millions and millions of dollars, $55 million 1 year.
But he wants some money. I know. Well, if Dak weaseled his way into all that money, then...
you can't tell me Lamar Jackson don't deserve it.
You know what I'm saying?
Sorry. I just don't think Dak Prescott's that great of a quarterback. He's not terrible. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to sit here and say he's bottom of the league, but I just don't think he's... What would you rank out of the 32 starting quarterbacks? Where would you rank them?
I mean, I put them in the top 10, probably.
Top 10, okay.
I was thinking
top 15.
Nah.
Is what I was thinking.
Nah. But you know who I'm really impressed with, and I'm sold on him 100% now?
Huh.
It's Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
Bruh.
Yeah, I keep calling him Hubert. I don't know why, but I guess I'm just illiterate. But yeah, he surprised me.
That's the man right there.
I seen this one. I don't know if he actually tweeted it or not.
Yeah.
But he I think it was right after, because they played Kansas City, right?
Yes.
So it was right after the game, supposedly, like I said, I don't know if he actually tweeted it or not. But it was a picture of Patrick Mahomes' wife and his brother, doing some goofy ass stance on the field. And he was like, yeah, y'all may have got the win, but at least I don't have to go to home to this shit.
Oh, yeah,
and I was like, God damn.
That's funny shit.
Hell yeah. But all right, man. Anything else?
Nah, that's it, man.
All right, well, shit, Corey, man, I appreciate you being on here. Just so everyone knows, I do plan on having Corey on as often as I can for the football segment. We'll do some group podcasts. I'm sure he'll be on those too. But other than that, man, I appreciate you being on, man.
Oh, yeah, man, no problem. Appreciate you having me.
Hell yeah. It'll be, like I said, probably every other week. Yeah. I'll do this one, and then I'll just switch out between Packer talk and the football talk. And then, just so y'all know, every other week I'll have this. And then in between, I'll have Packer Talk with Coy. C-O-Y. It's kind of confusing. We got Corey, and Coy. So either way. It's
kind of a tongue twister.
Okay. So let's go ahead and get ready for one big thing.
So big.
All right, y'all. So in this segment, I want to talk about climate change. And I had some questions about some things that I thought was kind of weird. What brought this on was all the droughts going around the world. They've been revealing all kinds of different things, right? You have in Lake Mead, you're having multiple bodies being found. I think they've found 4 sets of remains and shit. I know here in Texas, we found some dinosaur tracks, which was super exciting because, the little paleontologist in me was like, yeah, fuck yeah. And so, you know, that's cool. In China, they found like some Buddhist statues in the Yangtze River. I believe in Italy, they found a bomb from World War II that never exploded. They found like an ancient Roman bridge, a whole lost city, I believe in Iraq, but I could be wrong about that. And then what they call the Spanish Stonehenge. So they found all kinds of crazy shit that was hidden under the water, you know, for however long, some decades, some centuries, some maybe even longer, you know, like these. I'm pretty sure those dinosaur tracks have been there for a little while. So, you know, it's pretty crazy that we're finding all these things. And it kind of makes me think like, okay, we're having all these droughts. Like, what's going on? So, of course, if you listen to any politician or any, I won't say any celebrity, but a lot of celebrities and people up there, you know, they'll say, hey, you know, these droughts, are completely due to climate change. And it's our effects, our actions that we're having on the world. I'll first go ahead and say I do agree they are because of climate change, because climate change does happen. You know, of course, whether it's our fault or not, climate change happens, no doubt about it. The problem is what extent is it our fault? What extent is it not? I'm not here to really argue that. But what I do think is weird is, you know, like I said, you have all these politicians and celebrities calling for, you know, strict caps on carbon emissions, for sweeping regulations that in the end, they're only going to drive up costs for you and me. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, we have to do this, right? It's so important. If we don't, basically the alternative is we're all going to die, is the way it's laid out, right? So here's where my question comes in. Because a lot of people who say that we need to have these strict regulations and reduce carbon emissions, they're also the same people that have larger carbon footprints than you and I ever will. You know, for instance, when they take private jets, I don't know if y'all are aware, but private jets put out a lot of fucking CO2 emissions, right? So just to give y'all an idea, a private jet puts out about 2 metric tons of CO2 every hour, okay? For comparison, a typical car emits about 4.6 metric tons every year. So 1 hour in a private jet is 2 metric tons. 1 year in a regular car, 4.6 metric tons. So huge difference off the rip. Now, also, if you're looking at private jets as compared to a commercial plane, a private jet puts out about 5 to 14 times more pollution than a commercial plane. So me looking at it from my point of view, if you really cared about the environment like you're saying you do, why are you flying these private jets everywhere, right? You know, again, the average person themselves produces about 7 metric tons per year. So all that is 3.5 hours on a flight. So then you look at the actual people who are saying things like this, like Taylor Swift. She's big on climate change and we need to do what we have to do to correct it, and it's on us and all that type of stuff. And that's fine. That's all good. The problem is your nickname is the queen of pollution. You know what I mean? Like, you put out, okay, just give you all an idea. In 7 months, she emitted just over 8,000 metric tons of CO2, which is like 900 times more than the average person would do. And she wasn't even on tour. She was just flying around, y'all. It's not like she was going places because she was on tour. No, she's just flying around. So really hypocritical. You have John Kerry, who is Biden's climate envoy. So kind of funny. He's supposed to be this super important person when it comes to climate change, yet he's put out 300 metric tons of CO2 since Biden took office. And you know, they're not the only ones. You know, there's a long list from Al Gore, Steven Spielberg, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Prince Harry, all these type of people basically say, hey, we need to change and we need to do something to help with climate change and help the environment, but they're not willing to do it themselves. It's the most hypocritical stance that you could take, as opposed to people like Greta Thunberg. You know, I may not agree 100% with Greta Thunberg, and at this point, she's too young to really, like, give attention to. I don't really care much what she says, but, you know, I'll give her all the credit in the world. She fucking stands by what she means. She was invited to New York for a conference about climate change, and how did she get there? She fucking sailed across the ocean, emitted 0 emissions. Because she actually believes in what she says. Unlike all these other people who will put out way more emissions than you and me will ever put out. Yet they're going to stand there and tell us that we need to work on climate change and all that stuff. And the point of the matter is they do believe that we need to work on climate change. They just don't think they need to work on it. They want you to work on it. They want me to work on it. They want us to work on it. Not them. They don't want to sacrifice any of their shit. They get on a private, or excuse me, get on a commercial plane with fucking regular people. Ugh, gross. I don't want any part of that. I want to take my own plane. It's not that bad. You know, so that's what I see as the rationale behind it. And I just don't fucking get it. You have the climate summit, which they do every year. It's held in Glasgow. Pretty much every nation flies there in a private jet every year. So you got one from pretty much every country in South America, North America, most countries in Europe, even though they're right next door, they're still going to fly there. You have a couple of exceptions that took trains and things like that. But for the most part, they're going to get there however the fuck they feel is most comfortable to get there. And it doesn't really matter what is going on with the climate, because they just don't look at what they're doing as that big a deal. It's all on the businesses that are producing these emissions and the regular people driving those cars. Those are the people with the problems. Not us driving these private passenger jets and super yachts and things like that put out way more emissions than they ever would. You know, ultimately to me, it seems like they want to virtue signal, like I said earlier, you know, give the appearance of, hey, you know, I believe that this is what we should do and this is what's right. And I'm going to yell at you to do it, but I'm not going to do it myself because I don't want to do that shit. I shouldn't have to do that. But everyone else, they got to deal with it. Even though we're the main ones polluting way more than the average American citizen, we want the average American to have to fucking deal with this problem, and we want them to have to pay for this problem, because ultimately that's what's happening, right? You know, we pay for it in the cost of energy, right? So the cost of energy has been going up. That is due to a lot of factors. I'm not saying it's solely due to this, but there's no doubt that us not drilling in lands that are good for getting oil, us not fracking, us taking out the pipeline that was supposed to be built, the Keystone Pipeline, there's no doubt that those things have effects on our gas prices, where if we just did them, our gas would be much more cost effective. And I'm not saying that I don't believe that we should, you know, just try and not do anything, just throw our hands up and say, well, we're fucked, just live with it. But at the same time, like, we can't hurt ourselves to do this. Like, we can't destroy our economy to do this. We don't have the infrastructure to build this. We have to build the entire infrastructure for the shit. Renewable resources aren't reliable. Solar panels aren't that great. Wind energy doesn't work when there's no wind. Nuclear energy is the best one, but no one seems to want to fucking do it. There's been kind of a surge lately in people being interested in nuclear power again, which is great because they should be. It's one of the cleanest forms of energy there is, but there's such a stigma behind it because of what's happened at, you know, Chernobyl and Fukushima and things like that. And then you have the problem of, you have these electric vehicles and they produce less CO2, but they also still produce a decent amount of CO2, not much less than a regular vehicle. And they also have other pollutants that they produce. So when you actually look at the overall pollution effects of an electric vehicle to a gas-powered vehicle, we're not talking about that big a difference for the environment. We're talking minimal. Then you have to look at the fact that when you charge your Tesla, it's not cheap. I don't know how many people know that, but I fill up my car now for about, depending on where gas is, it's kind of going back up a little bit, which I've heard it's supposed to keep going back up to record prices again. Hopefully that's wrong. But either way, when I filled up my car last, I think it was like $35. I got a pretty small tank. I think it's a 13 or 14 gallon tank. Not a big deal, right? Still a little expensive, but not crazy. For an average Tesla, it's $100 to charge the vehicle. So am I saving any money? It seems like I'd actually be spending more money using the Tesla. Plus, it costs more, but again, for rich people, that's not a problem. They have that money. And so they look at poor people and they're like, ugh, why can't you just buy an electric vehicle and charge it for way more than you would pay for gas? I don't understand. What the fuck is your problem? You don't care about the environment? You know, I'm willing to take that was something that really pissed me off. You had so many celebrities coming out when gas prices first started hitting like $4 and things like that. and everyone was complaining about the price of gas, you had celebrities, you know, people like Stephen Colbert and Jimmy Kimmel, all these late night hosts saying, you know, I'm willing to pay the extra money for gas, you know, if it means it's going to help the climate. Well, of course you fucking are. You're rich. You got money. What about the person on minimum wage that's not making any money? How are they going to afford the extra cost of gas? But see, that's my overall problem is when they look at this, and I don't mean every single person who's a climate activist, but a lot of people, when they look at this, they just look at it from one point of view, which is their own. You know, hey, I can afford it. Well, if I can afford it, everyone should be able to afford it. It doesn't matter what's good for you. It matters what's good for everyone. And it's like, well, first of all, you got to kind of weigh the importance for a person. For a person who needs to eat, I'm pretty sure they care more about getting gas in their vehicle so they can get to work, so they can put food on the table, than they care about the temperature of the world going up 2 degrees. Because let's be honest, that's not going to kill people. You know, I don't really understand this whole thought of like, oh, the coasts are gonna you know, flood, and then they're not gonna, like, it's not gonna be like the day after tomorrow where it's a massive fucking flood all of a sudden, a giant tsunami takes over half of Florida type shit. That's not gonna happen. It's going to be a slow approach. You know what I mean? It's gonna gradually take time for this to happen. And again, I'm not trying to say that we shouldn't do anything about climate change. I just think we should do things that make sense, that are smart, and don't hurt America. You know, because at the end of the day, we can take carbon emissions down to 0% here in the United States, and doesn't matter whether our population is suffering or prospering, it's not going to make much of a difference at all on the global impact of pollution, because America only contributes about 11% of the world's pollution. So it's really frustrating to have, you know, the rich people sit here and say, y'all need to do more. You know, it doesn't matter if gas is more expensive. We need to do more to help the environment. Now I'm going to hop on my private jet that puts out more, pollution than you'll ever put out in your life. And I'm going to feel good about it. And you're the asshole somehow. So I don't know. To me, the whole thing's crazy. But yeah, that's pretty much all I got for y'all, man. I appreciate y'all wasting your time with me. And don't forget to like, comment, subscribe. If you didn't do it while you were listening, go ahead and do it now before you get out. And other than that, I'll see y'all next week. Same time, same place. Peace. Attention, we're not submissive, too hot, then get out the kitchen. Appropriately offensive. Appropriately offensive. Appropriately offensive. Appropriately offensive. Appropriately offensive.